Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Well, I was having so much fun this morning, I got cut short on time, and I look at the clock, and it's almost One American News is ending. I'm like, oh, no, I need to do a few things before the show starts. So I've just been running around like crazy here. There's been some changes, lots of changes, and today we have, it's our last scheduled report, but we're going to hear from them again. Michaela Rollo-Kerwin and Jimmy T. Smith, who've been just wonderful on reports from Concerned Veterans for America. We've had some incredible discussions. It's just been really great to have them on the show. But they're going to be moving on as far as a regular report goes. I'll be back periodically, just like the different folks that have gone. Wendy Arthur, who did the Oh My God report, she's been back at least once, I think. Chief Dan Skyhorse with the Creek Tribe report, he'll be back. But folks get busy, folks, there's stuff going on. And it's almost like we have kind of a mission here. And when that mission's accomplished, we've done what we can. We said what we need to be said, and then we move on to do different things. And there's a couple of things that are absolutely dominating the news right now. And that is why I've sort of dedicated Wednesdays, sort of repurposed, I guess, is the term that they use, to really cover a couple of different things. I'm sort of umming a little bit this morning. I'm playing with my computer at the same time. Again, like I say, I caught a little short. This is what happens when you love research. And the more you research, the more you get stuck into stuff. And time just kind of goes by. And so this is why it'd be nice to have someone think, Greg, the show's about to start. Oh, yeah, okay, fine, thanks. So that's where we are. So the two things that are absolutely dominating the news right now, and at least dominating our news, the news that counts, is the election correction report. All right, that's what's going on in Arizona. It's what's going on around the country. And the other is the vaccine report. Now, I've sort of changed the name here so that I'm being a little overly cautious at first because I just got back on Facebook. And so I have not been doing last week. I'll say stuff here that's controversial because Blog Talk's really great. They don't have a problem. They don't have a bunch of boycotts and things like that. But when it comes to Facebook, just because I got canceled so fast and for so long, it's nice to be back actually posting again. I've changed the Not Ready for Facebook vaccine report to the corporate government vaccine report. It seems a little tamer, and it probably will attract a little bit less attention on the public forum, but the point is still the same. I'm going to be just as ruthless with Dr. Fascist, the genocidal, psychopathic drug pusher, and I'm going to be just as ruthless with everybody. Nothing's going to change here on the show, but what is going to change is the public persona, the public image a little tiny bit, just because I'm going to be a little overcautious until we get this figured out. If anybody wants to join me, We're open for the first hour. It's just me. And so as much as the truth is I don't need to hear myself talk for an hour. So feel free as the show goes on, as you find things of interest, join in. And the number 215-383-3832. We've got new listeners. We've got new folks who are hearing us for the first time. We've got the Santa Rosa, volunteers who have helped out enormously with the show. They're sponsoring, our Patriot Minutes. Even though it's more like 2.5, maybe it's almost 3, whatever it is, I can't talk about something for a minute. There's just no time. And the whole point of the show is that we're not restricted. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about radio, and I forgot who it was, but we were talking about the limitations of terrestrial radio and online radio versus independent radio, which is what I do here. And a lot of other folks do too. Is that if you work for the trade-off to work for a radio station or any of those big syndicates like iHeart, Cumulus, I forgot some of the other ones. Anyway, the trade-off is that they tell you what to do, and they will tell you everything. They will give you so much time per segment, and you go right to news breaks and commercial breaks and other breaks and things like that, and you really can't get anything accomplished. So we can't. And that's the beauty of this. And so I like to get into details, big, big details. And let's see if we can rearrange my screen a little bit, figure out what's going on. So the fun of doing Blog Talk is you're also the producer. And so instead of having somebody in the next room, twiddling dials and pushing buttons, I'm doing that at the same time as I'm talking to you. And so we all have this deathly fear I'll say something horrendous and go listen to the program afterwards. I didn't mean to say that, for something I was working on. All right, I've got a couple of really big subjects here. Again, the two of them, the election correction report and the vaccine, the corporate government vaccine report. So let's start with elections. Elections are what's happening. In fact, the 2020 election is not over. And this is the thing that people, I think a lot of them places don't understand, is that the corporate, you know, government media wants to convince you as much as possible that not only is the election, you know, over, that even questioning the election makes you look like a crazy person. All right. I guess they call it a conspiracy theory. We should probably talk about that sometime. Exactly what is a conspiracy theory? Because a theory is something that science uses all the time. I mean, they fire the theories. They take a hypothesis. They try and, you know, generate some evidence for it. And eventually it becomes a theory where, you know, this might actually happen. They haven't proven it yet, but it's still a theory. And so like evolution is a theory because it is really tough to prove. Whether it exists or not, that's another question. We can take that up. But the point is, it's still a theory, all right? And so climate change is a theory, and there's conflicting evidence on both sides. I happen to believe the side that says there is no, you know, there's no man-made climate change. You can't, you know, you can't change there's something the size of the Earth and the sun and the physical laws of nature with an SUV. It's not going to happen. Okay. So that's why I happen to come down on that. And so we use a lot of logic and a lot of reason here. All right. So let's apply what we apply to climate change, to everything else we do, to the election. And if you use logic and reason, don't be afraid to use logic and reason. I think that's one of the biggest things that the corporate government media does, is to try and instill in you a belief that your own judgment is worthless, all right? That your own opinion is meaningless, that your own logic and reason, the skills that God gave you to look at something and pass judgment over it, are somehow inadequate to the task. None of that is true, okay? And so if you use simple logic and reason, you know, does it make sense that Joe Biden in a fair election could beat Donald Trump? I mean, that's laughable. Of course he couldn't. You know, does it make sense that somebody that got 20 people at a rally who were paid to be there could beat somebody who got, you know, 50,000 at a rally with another 30,000 outside waiting to get in, you know, in some of the bigger arenas? You know, so it makes absolutely no sense to think logically that one of the most popular presidents ever had any trouble with one of the least popular figures in Washington of all time. I mean, it just makes no sense. So given that it makes no sense, let's take a look at the evidence. And the evidence is overwhelming. You've got the Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, mountains of video. You've got stacks of affidavits. You know, you've got all this stuff. So I was convinced a long time ago, I was convinced election night that Trump had won simply based on logic and reason, because it would be impossible to believe that he couldn't win, given the fact that he was running against Joe Biden, all right, you know, and Kamala Harris, I think I was watching One American News talking about two of the least popular people of all time, even in the Democrat Party, all right? So it makes no sense that they could have done anything, especially to beat, you know, Trump when he got so many millions and millions of votes, because all of us, you know, did the outvote the vote fraud thing. Okay, and we talked about it for 2 years here, ever since the 2018 midterms, which I believe were still stolen, all right? So all the impeachments, all the things that happened in the second half of Trump's first term, never had to happen because the gelding old party, the GOP, the gelding old party refused to do anything. And one of the things they refused to do was to audit the 2018 midterm election. I think they would have found they won, but they don't want to win because they're the controlled opposition. They're supposed to be losers. And so you we're in a situation where we've got controlled losers and ultra-socialist, radical Marxist winners. Well, that's not the way America's set up. We're not set up for a Marxist totalitarian government. We're set up for just the opposite, hence the conflict. So there was a conference this weekend, which Josie reported on so eloquently yesterday in Dallas. And I've forgotten exactly the name of it, but there's an article that came up from the Tea Party on what happened. And one of the great things that happened was Sidney Powell. And so the question that the Tea Party article asked, let me get to the date for you, get some official stuff so you can look this up. A lot of times I mention articles that you won't find post on Facebook just because. I mean, I'm not going to risk having them, you know, chop my account again, but you can certainly find them on your own. So the Tea Party, Sidney Powell asked, what happens after voter fraud is exposed? And Sidney Powell says it should be that he is simply reinstated, that a new inauguration day is set. Well, let me just read the article and then it'll translate for you. So this is teaparty.org exclusive. Attorney Sidney Powell recently made an appearance at the For God and Country rally. Okay, there it is. I should just read the article. It'll be so much easier. So the For God and Country rally that was held over Memorial Day weekend in the city of Dallas, Texas, where she was asked during her onstage discussion. Yeah, it was really great. So Sidney Powell's up there, and she's got some guy with her asking some journalists or something, asking her questions, because Sidney Powell doesn't like to make speeches, all right? I mean, she's great in court, and she likes to be organized, but she's one of these folks. She doesn't just, do the extemporaneous thing. And so she got a guy up there asking really good questions. Well, then he turned it over to the audience, and they were passing around a microphone. This is all live, right? This is live on TV, totally unscripted, unrehearsed, opinions. And so they're passing around a microphone. And this is why I was joking with Josie yesterday, because she was there. And I was texting her at the time. It was really funny. Josie, tell them about Action Radio. So I had way too much fun. Anyway, so the question came up, just as I said, basically what happens now? Let me see. So here we go. So it says where she was asked, and it's Sidney Powell, during her onstage discussion, what would happen if several states were to overturn their 2020 presidential election results? Okay, and we've talked about that on the show. We've talked about that several times. This is why I do the election correction report, because that's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on several states, not overturning, but correcting. See, there's a reason for everything I do, okay? The more you get to know me, the more you realize, oh, that's a cute name, the election correction report. No, there's a reason for it. And the reason is because we're not overturning anything. They overturned. They overturned the election process. They stole the White House. They corrupted the process. They engaged in the greatest voter suppression ever known, which was stealing the election. Okay, they invalidated every vote for Trump by stealing the election. They are the criminals. They are the ones that need to be prosecuted. They are the ones that need to go to jail. All we're doing is correcting the results. Okay, so another thing that's fascinating about this, they keep talking about, we have to have people have confidence in their election. Well, I'll have confidence in the election when we get the right result. I'll have confidence in the election when it's accurate. I'm not so much interested in election integrity, whatever that is, as I am with election accuracy. Right? I want the right numbers. I don't care what they have to do to get the right numbers. Get the damn right numbers. Right? This is stupid to do anything else. Back to the article. According to the Gateway Pundit report, of which I have – Gateway Pundit is like my go-to source for most of the election correction. According to the Gateway Pundit report, Powell responded by saying, quote, "We're definitely in uncharted territory. There are cases where elections have been overturned, but there's never been one at the presidential level where everybody will jump to point out. That doesn't mean it can't be done, though. There's always a first case. And as far as I know, this is the first case of abject fraud and obtaining a coup of the United States of America. So it's going to have to be dealt with. It should be that he can simply be reinstated." That's Trump, all right? "That a new inauguration day is set." And of course, there's cheers from the audience. "And Biden is told to move out of the White House, and President Trump should be moved back in." Notice she never says President Biden. Nobody who knows what's going on says President Biden. He's not a president. He's a thief in chief. He's an imposter. He's a fraud. Okay. So the election's not over. It's still being audited. Okay. So it's like, I keep referring to the ongoing investigation. All right. So you can't, when they always say, well, we can't give you details, there's an ongoing investigation. If they did that at the presidential level, we said, well, we can't really tell you who won yet because there's an ongoing investigation. Wouldn't that be interesting? Well, who's going to be president? Well, that's a good question. Well, we don't have one now. In fact, this is the first time in American history where we don't have a president ever since the government was officially chartered. Okay. And what's happening? Well, it's horrible because you got an imposter there. I think in Obama, we had an illegal president simply because he never produced a valid birth certificate. And I stand by that. Okay. Now, where was he born? I don't know. The point is that he wasn't a natural born citizen. I mean, we can question all kinds of things, but the truth is this isn't the first time we've had a thief in chief in the White House. This is the second time. All right. Anyway, we'll go on with that. All right. So that's the first of my many articles. What's coming up next here? Epoch Times. I got to get a subscription to these folks because they keep sending some of the cool articles are premium articles. It's like, yeah. I'm on a limited budget here at Action Radio. I suppose I got to, start paying for more. So I have enough subscriptions just keeping the show going. There's like five to keep the show going, including sound and production stuff and all the other things we do here. All right. So Epoch Times. And this is Zachary Stieber, June 1st. Ooh, they've upped it. This is just yesterday. Oh, interesting. Okay, all right. Let me get caught up here. So Pennsylvania legislators travel to Arizona to observe election audit. This is great. All right, I saw this. Christina Bob, I think, was interviewing one of the folks. She's the one who's in Arizona right now for One American News. All right. So it says, article says, Epoch Times, a delegation from Pennsylvania is set on Wednesday to tour the audit taking place in Arizona's largest county. Largest county is Maricopa County. That would be Phoenix. That would be Democrat headquarters for corruption. All right. The delegation will, back to the article, the delegation will visit the Arizona Capitol to, why don't they say Phoenix? The delegation will meet with the Arizona Capitol to meet with members of the Arizona legislature before touring. Let's go on an audit tour, shall we? Oh, yes. Okay, fine. So pick up your headphones. You know, the viewing will be on the left and windows on the right. Okay, fine. You know, I don't know how they do it. Before touring the audit at Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Phoenix. All right. And we got a quote here from Pennsylvania State Representative Rob Kaufman, who told the Epoch Times, I kind of see this as a fact-finding mission to see what's happening on the ground in Arizona. Yeah, they're going to make a model of it. Right? Okay, here's my local hero. Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano and Chris Douche also. I'm sorry, I can make fun of that name if I could. Sorry, Douche. It's, maybe it's Dush. It's D-U-S-H. How would I pronounce that? If anybody, right, I better call him Chris Dush just because otherwise it's going to be too obvious. Let me start again. Take two, Greg. Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano and Chris Dush were also traveling to the state. All three lawmakers are Republicans. Of course they are. Why? Because the Democrats don't want anything to do with this. All right? They're acting guilty as hell. There's not one single Democrat that's come forward and said, how can I put this exactly? They're not saying that, go ahead, take a look. You know, let me show you what's going on. Let me show you my state. Let me show you our machines. Let me show you our votes. You know, we've secured them. The chain of custody is intact. And we'll get to that report in a little bit. You know, come on, take a look. All right. Not one Democrat saying that. What they're saying is you can't look. Oh, wait a minute. Are you kidding? You know, how much more guilty can you look? You know, it's like when you confront a kid, you know, who you think stole something and it's in their room, right? You say, I need to look in your room. I need to, did you steal anything? Oh, not me. Okay. Can we take a look in your room? No. Why would you want to do that? How dare you question my integrity? What's wrong with you? You know, this is what Democrats are acting like a little kid. You know, go inspect it. You don't inspect the other, you know, my other brothers and sisters' rooms. Why are you inspecting my room? Yada, yada, yada. And the excuses keep going. Why? Because the stolen object's in their room. All right. Same thing's happening here with this election. We know they did it. Okay, the evidence is that Mike Lindell's proven it over and over. The testimony, the videos of the ballots coming out in suitcases from under desks, we know that massive fraud was committed. All right, all we're doing is verifying. Well, it's almost like we have to prove to the people that don't know about it yet, and we have to certify it. It's like we know the result, we know where we're going with this, we just have to get everybody else on board. Okay, so when there's enough pressure from the rest of the country, go, oh, wow, geez, they were right all along. You know, and that's the funny part about being right. The cool part of voting right is that, you know, you have the big fat, I told you so, and it's whether, you know, it's your choice whether to use it or not. So a lot of us here at Action Radio, we have a big fat, I told you so. You know, I told you so that hydroxychloroquine kills COVID. I told you so back on March 2nd of last year. We'll get that when we get to the vaccine report. You know, I told you so that this was a total fraud, that Biden lost, that it was manipulated, it was done by machines and everything else. You know, as soon as I found out, which was, I think, by like day two or three. After the election, you know, I knew the whole thing was a fraud. We pretty much knew how it was going to go. Then was the question of proving it and showing it to everybody else. Okay. So that's the important part now is to get the rest of the country on board and have an overwhelming preponderance of Americans say, wait a minute, this guy's got to go. That's what it's really going to take. And that's what's going to pressure the courts, and the courts are going to say, yeah, you're right. You know, Trump won, time to move him out. Otherwise, the bastard in chief stays there. And, you know, I don't like to swear on the air, but it's true. He's a bastard in chief. You know, he's illegitimate. He should not be there. So that's what's going on. Thief in chief seems a little tame. I'll see if I can get away with you using the B word, but that's basically what's going on. Okay, back to the article. Asked if the trip could lead to a similar audit in Pennsylvania, Dush. Sorry, Dush. Dush told the Epoch Times, I can't say that yet, but if we bring some substantial information back with us, I could see it happening. Well, wait a minute. This is the age of electronics. Okay, they know exactly what's happening. There are 15 cameras all over Veterans Memorial Coliseum photographing every aspect of this audit. What could they not know at this point? All right. So which leads me, being the suspicious person I am, to what they're really doing is they're talking to the other Republicans, saying, how the hell did you pull this off? What are you really doing? How do we do this ourselves? You know, and that's what they're really asking. That's the stuff you're not going to hear about. Okay. So that's why they're out there in person, because everybody knows how the audit's going. you know, One American News, and I don't know who else, because that's what I watch, right? You know, and the video cameras, they even give you the subscription. There's like a million video cameras. Well, I don't know, 15 at least, that I think. You know, so everybody knows how this audit's being done. So there's no mystery there. So why are these people out there? They're out there to find out the strategy. They're out there to find out how to defeat the Democrat lawsuits. They're out there to find out how to do this, you know, with the minimum money and maximum support from the people. They're out there finding out everything that Arizona's made mistakes on, so they don't have to make those same mistakes. That's what they're doing out there. Okay, let's take a look again. Logic and reason. Why would they go when everything is so technical now that they can find anything they want online? Okay, that's why, because they want the secret stuff. All right, Ken Bennett, the Arizona Senate's audit liaison, told the Epoch Times that he did not have further information on the visit beyond what his team posted on Twitter on Tuesday. Of course not. They don't want to give it away either. The Arizona Senate ordered the audit after the 2020 election. Months of court battles ensued, with Maricopa County resisting subpoenas of ballots, machines, and other election materials. Of course they did, because they covered up a fraud election. They know it. We know it. We know they know it. They know we know they know it. This could go on all day. The county ultimately handed over most of the subpoenaed art materials after a judge sided with the state Senate, because they had no choice. What do you mean, ultimately handed over? It was a court order, all right? The audit started on April 23rd. Auditors are about halfway through the nearly 2.1 million ballots cast in the county in the presidential election. Isn't this fun? Arizona Senate President Karen Fan of the GOP has said the audit is not an attempt to change the election results, but to identify any problems in the election system and fix them for future contests. Oh, give me a break. Oh, that's just a pure lie. Of course it's to fix the election. Yeah, but she has to say that. So that's how propaganda works, all right? So you say things that you – in fact, it's so obviously untrue, but it's so obvious – it also so obviously has to be said. So she goes to the obligatory, well, we're not really trying to change the election here. We're just investigating the fraud, you know, and we're investigating what happened. We're looking for anomalies. We're looking for irregularities. We're looking for things that may need to be corrected in future legislation. That's BS. You know damn well that Trump won Arizona in a landslide, and they're just going to document it. This is about documenting the thing we all know to be true, and then it's going to come out, and then it goes to courts, and we say, hey, excuse me, those Biden electors, those are now Trump electors. And then the next day goes, and then the next day goes. We just need two more after Arizona. Arizona, Pennsylvania, and I don't know, Wisconsin, Michigan, one of those two. That's it. It's over. You know, Trump gets over 270, you know, the proper way because he won, and we go from there. All right. Let me get you let's see. I've only got so much time here. Only about 7 minutes left in this report, then we'll go to the other. Well, I don't know how much time we're going to have with our Concerned Veterans for America, so I want to make sure I get, you know, some of these stories. And I can always come back to them in the second hour of the show. Let's talk about this. Gateway Pundit. Horror. Exclusive video. Capitol Police fired exploding flash grenade into crowd on January 6th, the day which will live in infamy. Again. You know, another day that will live in infamy, all right? You know, as the explosion fired, that was Frank Lindell and Roosevelt said of Pearl Harbor. I'm not trying to reduce or degrade Pearl Harbor. I'm trying to say that January 6th is one of the most propagandized, lied about date in American history, okay? Think about this. Capitol Police fired exploding flash grenade into crowd on January 6th. Explosion fired into crowd of men, women, and children. Jim Hoft, May 31st. Gateway Pundit. Hey, I know you all heard about this on the news, right? Yeah? I mean, the fact that the police were sending flashbang grenades, you know, and rubber bullets at peaceful protesters who happen to be Trump supporters, you heard all about that, right? What do you mean, no? Well, gee, you know why? Because it's part of the cover-up, all right? There can be no support for Trump supporters. That's the official media line. So let me tell you what happened, all right? This is according to Gateway Pundit. It's on my Facebook page. Yeah, those are that are friends of mine. The rest of you, I'm sorry, you can't do it. But just go to Gateway Pundit. You know, January, just look up May 31st, Jim Hoft. There it is. And the video, you know, I've seen it, right? So it says on January 6th, Capitol Police started firing flash grenades and rubber bullets at peaceful protesters with U.S. and MAGA flags. From the video, you can see the protesters are not on the Capitol Hill steps and were behind barriers. There were children, veterans, and seniors in the crowd, and they were fired on by Capitol Police stormtroopers, shall we say? Okay, can I be so blunt? All right, you can take a look at the picture. I can see it right there. It's going right off. Now, why would they do that? Why would the Capitol Police, who invited Black Lives Matter and Antifa in what I call the Capitol Hill Invitational Walk-In, all right, why would they invite in people dressed as Trump supporters and fire on real Trump supporters? Oh, no. Maybe to make Trump supporters look like they were engaged in an insurrection, in a riot, when all they were there to do was support what the Senate should have done the first time, which was challenge the election, challenge the electors of the fraud states like Arizona. See, they could have fixed this back on January 6th if they'd just done their jobs. They haven't done their jobs yet. The election correction that was supposed to take place in Congress never happened. Okay? That's what they're bringing in the quote, the riot. The rioters, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Capitol Hill police, D.C. police, Capitol Hill Invitational walk-in was all about. It was about stopping the legitimate challenge of the electors in the 2020 election. It's part of the fraud. It's part of the cover-up. Okay. Remember how we talked about this before, that there's an endless series of lies. And yesterday's lies have to, have to be covered up by today's lies, today's lies will have to be covered up by tomorrow's lies, and the lies continue. So the lies just keep going. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. It's true. So Democrats are caught in a web of endless lies that they have to keep perpetuating to cover up their previous lies. Otherwise, the lies start falling apart. And pretty soon they're going to fall apart. But that's what's happening. So take a look. Take a look for yourself. It's right there. The protesters were packed tightly together, and the Capitol Hill police started firing on them. Last week, Julie Kelly from American Greatness released a video from January 6th protests in Washington, D.C. Police started firing on the peaceful protesters on the west side of the Capitol building. Let's get Josie, who was there January 6th, for an actual in-person report. Josie, did you see anything like this? Do you know about the flashbang grenades? Good morning.
By the time we approached the Capitol close, mm-hmm. all the bombs started going. And we thought it was the Black Lives Matter doing it. We didn't know who was doing that. But it was very windy, and a lot of the gas was, getting out of the way quickly. So a lot of people did not get it, but some people, right in front of us, started coming with their eyes. They can see and crying, and it was a mess. And we noticed also a lot of the so-called Trump supporters, they have backpacks with baseball bats and all kinds of stuff hanging on their side. And I told my husband, this looks odd. And then a huge group, at least 20 of them, mm-hmm. they came, okay, we're going inside. And they're kind of moving us because, it's bumper to bumper as we were walking towards the Capitol steps,
right
outside in the back. We were in the back. And they kind of making a big path to go inside, if there were us and there were not. I told my husband, this looks weird, the way they were dressed. And they did have a flag of Trump hanging from the back of their neck, just tied around the neck and let it hang in the back on some of them. And some of them with a helmet, and I told my husband, this is weird. I better pull my goggles. So I brought my goggles so I didn't get the tear gas in my eye. But,
I don't know if these were tear gas grenades that they're talking about in this story. They're talking about flashbang grenades, which are designed to, blind and disrupt and temporarily deafen them. They're nasty things. It's what SWAT teams use when they go into a building. They do a flashbang grenade to disorient the people inside so they're much more easily, stopped, put down, disarmed, and all those things. But to fire indiscriminately into a crowd, and the fact that this has only been reported now, and people are scared too because they can't release this stuff because the FBI is arresting people, who were in any way connected to this, and they're throwing them in jail in solitary confinement.
Some of the people in wheelchair and some of the people with walker and stuff like that, they turned around and started heading out from the crowd because they got so scared. And then when we got closer to the steps in the back, because that's as far as we went, the police were helping some of the people come in.
Oh, yeah.
It was
I've seen the videos.
Helping us. I didn't think much of it, but they were helping a lot of people come through.
Well, this is why I've called it the Capitol Hill Invitational Walk-In. Okay, so if you got an invitation, if you're Black Lives Matter, if you're Antifa, if you're working with the Democrats and the deep state Republicans, the gelding old party, if you're working with those people, you got to walk in. You were invited, okay? If you're a Trump supporter, mm-hmm. you were demonized, sent these flashbang grenades and who knows what else, tear gas as well, it sounds like, and you were accused of being the rioters, the insurrection. They are the insurrection. They are the ones that stop the process. And this is the thing that we have to get clear to people. It's the Democrat, Republican, you know, deep state establishment using Black Lives Matter and Antifa to stop the legitimate challenge to the electors coming from states where they basically were fraudulent. Okay. And they were supposed to be counted. And every one of those senators wimped out. You know, I don't know if this is supposed to be a Congress-wide challenge, but all of them, they all wimped out. Well, Pelosi just, you know, did a voice vote and said, oh, Biden's president, right? You know, but in the Senate, at least they had to vote, all right? And every one of the senators that I used to respect said, oh, no, I guess for the sake of the nation, for the sake of peace, you know, we have to stop our legitimate constitutional duty and fail. And that's what they did. They failed, all right? So the coup worked. The coup worked, but it worked the wrong way. The coup worked in favor of the insurrection, the real insurrection, the Democrats and the deep state Republicans. That's who it worked for.
Yeah.
And people don't understand
that. One more thing,
Greg. Sure. Uh-huh.
One more thing before I get off, because I have to get ready. I have an appointment. One more thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, as we were around the area in the steps, I was in the back of the Capitol with a lot of people, lots of people. And all of a sudden, the word got around that there was a curfew and we barely had time.
And
we barely made it to the bus.
Huh.
All of a sudden, out of the blue, saying there's a curfew, you're going to be arrested. So I believe these traitors, they arrested all the Trump supporters that they wanted to arrest, including Cowboy for Trump, which I met him at the event, and I've been talking to him. He was arrested and put in jail for 6 days for nothing. He didn't do anything. Yeah. He didn't even go inside. He didn't do nothing. So I believe a lot of people that got arrested, it was because of the curfew, and we didn't know nothing about it. And we were walking as fast as we could to our buses, and my right knee was in pain because of the cold weather, and I have a little bit of arthritis, and I was in severe pain by the time I got to the bus. And people didn't make it to the buses. They were arrested because of the curfew. And now they say, oh, because you were in D.C., you were – yeah, they're a bunch of traitors and liars. That's exactly what happened to many of them probably. But I'm surprised you didn't get arrested. We tried to take shortcuts, and we were like, oh, my God, we made it to the bus, but we almost did not make it. Yes.
Wow.
So
you know what you should do?
The curfew came out of the blues. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that somebody ordered it, and of course it was a secret curfew. That's how they could arrest you. Like you've defied the curfew.
Yeah.
What curfew? You should have known. You know, we have a curfew. We declared a curfew. Okay, but you didn't tell anybody. Well, that doesn't matter. You violated a curfew. This is out of Kafka.
Yeah.
This is out of the
exactly.
trial. This is what communists do. You're guilty. You have to be guilty of something. So they make up the law. Don't tell you about it. Arrest you for something you didn't know about, and then prosecute you. You know, under a bogus law. Yeah. What you should do, in fact, everybody, Jonathan also reported from there. I don't know if you guys have done this, but you should write down literally everything that happened that you remember. Document it, put it down now, because the history is going to get changed. So if you want to write that down, write down everything. Just, and it may take you a while to do this. I'll talk to Jonathan about this too, because you guys are both there. But write everything down. Write down an entire history of it, because, you know, your kids and grandkids are going to want to see this. And it's going to be some historian somewhere is going to document the truth about this. They're going to need that information. So write it all down. Everything. Everything you remember from the time you got there till the time you left.
Yes. And the very next day, when we arrived back into our town here in Pensacola, and also Navarro, where we met, Fort Walton Beach, excuse me. The FBI, so-called FBI, was calling our leader, a Christian woman. We all were Christians. What happened is they said, we want a list of everyone that were in those buses, because there were two buses.
Yeah,
and
no,
she said,
sorry.
He said, no, you're not going to get a list unless you bring me a subpoena. And he never came back again.
Oh, because it was
I
bogus.
I think they were Black Lives Matter acting like if they were FBI.
Did they have ID?
These people are – no, he didn't have ID. These people are criminals.
Of
criminals.
Course.
And
that's
we
what
allow
is.
Them to get away. That's the problem with the conservative and the Republican leaders. They're allowing this crime and these criminals to abuse the American citizens, and enough is enough. We had enough of them. We're going to put them down. And it's coming.
There's a reason I call them the gelding old party. I don't know if you know the expression gelding.
Yeah.
It's a castrated horse. just so anybody wants to know where that came from. But I never knew.
About that in the event, actually.
Oh, you called it that, the gelding old party?
I learned the word in the event. They were talking about that, too.
Oh, really? Oh, that's fascinating. Because I know English is not your first language. This is why, I'm not, it's nothing to do with your intelligence. It's just a question. It's not a word in common usage.
Yeah.
It's more of an English word.
Exactly.
Where did it come up at? Wait, did you learn about this at the conference or what? Is that where you heard about it?
I forgot. Somebody was talking something about horses and all that. They came up with that word.
Oh, yeah. That's what it means.
Did you hear about it?
I'm going to continue the rest of the report. I'm on my own Wednesdays now. Both Wendy and Chief Dan have moved on from the report on a regularly scheduled basis. They'll be back periodically as time permits, but it's just me.
Okay.
Election correction and vaccine report. That's what's going to dominate Wednesdays for the foreseeable future. Let me play my stuff from Santa Rosa Volunteers, and let me let you get on your way. If you get a chance to call back.
Okay?
Well, I hope so.
I'm going to continue listening.
That's why I do this.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Josie. Bye. All right, here we go. So let me play something. Actually, I'll play where this started. I have a new sponsor, Santa Rosa Volunteers. So they asked me to do these 1 minute, specials on some aspect of documents, for the foreseeable future. And of course, I can't say anything in 1 minute. I have to say it longer. But let me tell you how the story came about. I prepared something on that, which I played last week. But I think I'm going to keep playing this because it really sort of tells you about Santa Rosa Volunteers and why we're doing what we're doing. And then I'll play you the actual piece from this week on the Declaration of Independence. So I'll be back in about, 5 minutes. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. I am proud to announce a new feature of Action Radio. Santa Rosa Volunteers has commissioned me to bring to you an education in our founding documents, one focused subject at a time. Each week, we will have a new presentation drawing from the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, and who knows, maybe back to Magna Carta. So enjoy learning about your God-given birthright in these vignettes. Share them with your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your friends, in fact, anyone you want to serve, an accessible yet poignant introduction to a lifelong journey in the study and practice of liberty. The whole purpose of these presentations is to inform a generation or two of Americans about the true meaning of our founding. They should have gotten that in school. Since that is not happening, Santa Rosa Volunteers has decided to help change that. If you want to learn more about Santa Rosa Volunteers and maybe get involved, their website is srv1776.com, srv1776.com. Their email is srv1776@protonmail.com. It is their goal to share local community information while encouraging everyone to feel welcomed and informed. Santa Rosa Volunteers says, "Arise, patriots! It is time to take our republic back. The sleeping giant awakens. Arise, patriots, and get involved." Until next time, this is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. Okay, so that's how this all came about, and this is the actual report from this week. This is Greg Penglis with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. For our first founding lesson, I want to start with the Declaration of Independence. Basic to any understanding of freedom and liberty are these words written by Thomas Jefferson. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You will notice there is no reference to race, color, age, nationality, ethnic group, religion, or any of the common leftist categories they use to divide us. David Azarad, in his article for the Heritage Foundation, titled "What the Constitution Really Says About Race and Slavery," December 28, 2015, says that no such concepts as race exist in the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, or any founding document. Therefore, since our founding documents have no such concept as race, it's kind of stupid of the left to say that we are founded on racism. The truth, folks, is that they simply made it up to suit their agenda of national sabotage and destruction. so that you would learn to hate your country. We hold these truths to be self-evident. No case need be made. It's plainly obvious. All men, meaning all people, are created equal. Granted, your status once you've come into the world is different from everyone else's because we all have different backgrounds, families, cultures, wealth, education, etc. We have differences, vast differences, but we are created equal. The whole concept of liberty, freedom, and rights are all dependent on keeping God above government. When governments believe they are gods, they will dispense rights as they see fit. When people believe they are gods, they will feel entitled to everything you have. True freedom comes only from the understanding and maintenance in government through control by the people that our rights are unalienable, that they cannot be separated from us, ever, because they came from a power higher than government. That we the people, also being a higher power, realize and maintain control over government because all just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. How we give our consent is why I created Action Radio. I'll be back next week with another edition of Founding Moments, sponsored by the Santa Rosa Volunteers. I have so fun making these. I mean, I really do. It's a pleasure to be able to give this kind of information to you. And it's really not stuff we haven't talked about on the show already, but just making little concentrated things like that. You know, you can take it, and I don't care if you record, you know, from my podcast and share that, as long as you say, hey, I got this from Action Radio. All right. So the last thing I want to cover in the election correction report, and there's more. I've got more things to do, but I've got my guests coming up at the top of the hour, and then we'll see how much time we have. I'll just start with the vaccine report, you know, once I get through this one story here. Gateway Pundit, my go-to source for election correction. This is Joe Hoft, who's the twin brother of Jim Hoft. The two of them really, you know, put this news out. Yes, I'm going to try and get him on the show. All right. Fulton County, Georgia ballot storage facility was left open for hours. Attorney's own hired staff discovered the place wide open. Well, isn't that fascinating? Now, why would they do that? Well, to remove the evidence of their fraudulent ballots. That's why, you know, again, logic and reason, right? So here's the report, and this is from May 31st, Gateway Pundit. Yesterday, we reported on the facility in Fulton County, Georgia. That's Atlanta, you know, the Democrat folks, right? Where an alarm went off, and it was found wide open. The building is where election ballots are kept in the county. Now, what are the chances that an audit that's about to happen that's been ordered by a judge, you know, the one room where the election ballots are held, you know, would get broken into? I'm shocked. That's what I am. Shocked. All right. We got a little here breaking thing, breaking story from Emerald Robinson. I guess he used to be on One American News. Darling, you goofed. Go back to One American News. Newsmax is a bunch of sellouts. All right. She says, breaking, alarm went off at secure building in Fulton County, Georgia, where ballots are kept, building found wide open. Emerald Robinson from Newsmax reported last night that the facility in Fulton County, Georgia, where ballots are stored from the 2020 election, was found yesterday left wide open and unattended. What is going on? Scoop, attorney dealing with Fulton County, Georgia on audit of more than 145,000 ballots from 2020 election, tells that the alarm, continue reading. Oh, I forget, I'm going to hit the continue reading thing. I want to get more of this. This is good. Where do we go to? Continue reading. I suppose I should work this stuff out. We moved it. This is a story. Oh, now I'm confused. All right. So much for my consistency. We'll get back to that in a bit. Let me get back to the story I know, and then I'll get back to the story later on, the story I don't know. Anyway, you got the scoop here. Attorney General, attorney dealing with Fulton County, Georgia on audit of more than 145,000 ballots, tells me the alarm went off at the secure building where ballots were kept. The building was found left wide open and unattended. So there we go. There's the rest of your details. Then they got a picture here. This is a picture that, of the attorney provided on the door left open. Looks like, you know, it's wide open at the supposedly secure building where ballots are being kept. Okay, so what happens? Why is this being done? Well, let me see. They got it says CD Media is all over the story. I forgot who the CD Media is. I think that's a particular I've got them somewhere here. This is so many stories floating in my head. CD Media says they reported that attorney Bob Cheeley is a plaintiff attorney in the Fulton County, Georgia election fraud case. The case is working its way through the court of Judge Amaro in Henry County, having been moved out of Fulton for procedural reasons. Yeah, because they couldn't get a fair trial, probably. Judge Amaro granted Cheeley's and attorneys for the plaintiff's request to unseal and scan I guess at 600 DPI, technical term, the mail-in ballots from the 2020 general election. Allegations are that tens of thousands of counterfeit ballots are included in the 147,000 batch of mail-in ballots and envelopes. The video surveillance film from the State Farm Arena last night of November 3rd seems to validate these allegations. So, CD Media, and I'll get more about them in a minute. I'll start clicking around. It's fun when I do this show on the fly, isn't it? All right. CD Media shared, Sheely recounted how he hired his own off-duty police security detail since the hearing on May 21st to guard the warehouse as he did not trust Fulton County to do the job as per the court order. See, you get what's going on here? So Fulton County, you know, Democrat County, is ordered to protect the ballots. And yet the building is found wide open, okay, which means the chain of custody, the security of those ballots is gone. And we don't know how many were removed. Again, this is an action of a guilty person or a guilty conspiracy, as it were. It's not a theory. It's a fact. This was left open. And so the chain of custody was broken. So the question is, what happens from that? Fulton, get back to the article. Fulton County attorneys had pressured the judge during earlier communications, saying the off-duty police cars were intimidating the Fulton County employees by parking in the facility lot. Oh, yeah, right, sure they are. Not intimidated if you're not doing anything wrong, folks. All right. The judge asked the private security force to park on the street as Fulton County was threatening to arrest the off-duty officers for trespassing. In other words, they wanted the police away so they could do something. Come on, logic and reason, right? Fulton County has been ordered by Judge Amaro to guard the facility 24/7. Well, apparently they didn't. Two Fulton County Sheriff vehicles have been securing the building since May 25th when Judge Amaro ordered the facility guarded. Yesterday at 4 p.m., that would be before the 31st, so the 31st was Monday, so this would be Sunday. Let me see if I can find my place here. Yesterday at 4 p.m., the two sheriff cars left the parking lot for 2 hours. How convenient. 20 minutes after the cars, let me slow down, 20 minutes after the cars left the premises, the security alarm went off. I'm shocked. Well, it's almost like this was planned, right? Excuse me. The private security detail heard the alarm and investigated, finding the door unlocked and the building unattended. All right, so let me take a quick break for a second here and play something kind of fun. Let's do Joe Biden's, you know, my favorite little public service announcement here. I'll be right back.
Joe Biden's Dark Winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
Back to the article. Two Fulton County Sheriff's vehicles have been securing the building since May 25th when the Judge Amaro ordered the facility guarded. Okay, I already read that. This is the key, though. Yesterday at 4 p.m., the two sheriff cars left the parking lot for 2 hours. Wow. 20 minutes after the cars left the premises, the security alarm went off. The private security. Now, why didn't they come back? Okay, why did the sheriffs come back? Just a question, all right? You know, the private security detail heard the alarm and investigated, finding the door unlocked and the building unattended. Gee, that doesn't look suspicious. According to the report, the building was left open until 8 p.m. All right, so 4 to 8 p.m., there we go, when a county employee stopped by and locked the open door. Sheely, the person we mentioned earlier, declared that he is filing two motions of contempt against Fulton County this week for willfully disobeying the judge's order to have the facility guarded at all times. Judge Amaro had issued an earlier injunction, one of two, to have the ballot secured. The Georgia 2020 election was a mess and still is. The fact that no one in law enforcement with the ability is willing to make arrests is frightening. So there you go. Let me go back and find out what CD Media is. CD Media, check around here. CD Media is its own company. All right. So they have, here we go. Breaking Georgia audit update. Fulton County Sheriff Security Detail left ballot warehouse against court order. 20 minutes later, alarm went off. Okay, so the CD Media is another media company. All right, so then we got that corrected. All right, so there we go. Pretty much as to what's going on. Now, I had another thing that I found, another the site that I went to on the alarm. All right, so here's what's going on. All right, so obviously these ballots, which we think there's a bunch of fraudulent ballots, you know, the ones they made up, the ones they printed up, the ones they dumped, you know, the ones they used to count over and over again, you know, the fraud ballots were in this room. This room was ordered to be guarded 24/7. You know, it was, they had private security and they had law enforcement. Law enforcement left. I'm not sure what happened to private security. I may have to read this again. But the alarm goes off and nobody shows back up. All right. So the county employee hours later finds the building open. Now, what they haven't stated yet is how many ballots were removed. And I don't think they know, because they probably don't know how many ballots were there to begin with. They're guessing 145,000. But did they take the fraudulent ones? Did they take the real ones? Did they take all of them? It's not saying, you know, so they haven't even reported on what's in the room, which I find fascinating itself, probably because it's locked again. So nobody really knows. But the point of this whole thing is that the chain of custody has been broken. All right. You have no idea who went in, for how long, what was taken out, what was brought in. You don't know. You know, you have no way of knowing. What this means is the chain of custody of all those ballots has been broken, which means you can't count any of them. So what the judge should do, Judge Amaro, is what Judge Amaro should do. Under the circumstances, you know, there was no way that Fulton County could not know that they had to guard those ballots with their lives. Well, not with their lives, but at least they had to guard their ballot, those ballots. Court order. You cannot do anything else. You must guard those ballots 24/7 so they can be inspected. Didn't happen. So what that means is what the judge should do is disqualify all the ballots in Fulton County, Georgia. That'd be most of Atlanta, I guess, or maybe it's all of Atlanta. Whatever it is, that's what the judge needs to do. And then they need to correct the election based on the remaining ballots, because the chain of custody is broken. There's willful fraud here. The fact that they left the building open in defiance of a court order is election fraud. Why would you leave the building open if you weren't going to destroy the evidence or tamper with it somehow? There's no reason to. In fact, if you believed that all those ballots were genuine, you'd be guarding that. You'd hire private security to make sure that no one got in there. They did just the opposite. They broke in, left it open. A county employee finds it hours later. The police are gone for a couple of hours. You know, the alarm went off, fortunately. Now, I'm hoping they have film of this. I'm hoping they have video, you know, that of all the doors and exits. But maybe those were shut down, too. We don't know. This story is still going on. Okay, but this is the kind of thing that's happening, is that, you know, there it is, Fulton County. Well, let's go to the home of Gateway Pundit right now, see if they have an update on this. You know, so we're, here we go. This is election stuff on the fly. Oh, here we go. They got an article on Obama's third term. It says Joe Biden is finishing the job with his former staff. Yeah, no kidding. They got more video on Gateway Pundit of the Capitol Police fire flash grenades on peaceful protesters. Then that's the weird thing too. The Trump folks weren't protesters. They were supporters. They were supporting the action that Congress was taking, on the challenge to those fraudulent states. There you go. Anyway, so there's nothing new. All right. You got Dr. Fascist. You got some other stuff. All right. So let's move on from this to the vaccine report. This is going to take a little while to cover. Let me get the most shocking one first. And I've got about 8 minutes to do that before our guests get here. All right. Global Research. Wonderful website. In fact, I found this with UK Unloaded. Copy this article as well. The biggest scandal that and it's a global corporate government genocide, is that the known cures of COVID-19 were lied about, suppressed, demonized, and banned. There was no need for a pandemic. The pandemic is completely artificial because the cures to get rid of COVID-19 were completely known. Guess who knew it? Dr. Fascist. He knew that chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, killed COVID back in 2005. I've got the article. He knew that, all right? You know, all these folks knew that. Dr. Zelenko in this country, who's a friend of mine now. Dr. Raoult in France, who's not a friend of mine yet, but who knows? The day is young. You know, they reported this way back before the pandemic got really going, back in, I think, February, the end of February. I reported it in March. You know, I'm reading these studies going, wow, this is great. Hey, we don't have to have a pandemic. And then Fauci, who lies to President Trump, who went along with it stupidly, you know, they had this 15 days to slow the spread. And we're like, no, we don't need lockdowns. We don't need masks. We've got the cure right here. What's the problem? Cure the damn disease. Stop it from going anywhere. So the whole point is that 15 days to slow the spread really should have been 15 days of hydroxychloroquine to end the spread. Okay. Had that happened, there'd be no pandemic. But, as you know, everything relates to selling vaccines. Dr. Fascist, whom we affectionately call Dr. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fascist is a genocidal, psychopathic drug pusher. That's what he is, okay? Why else would he ban a cure he knows would stop the pandemic? Why would he let God knows how many people die? And I'm not even sure because the figures are so screwed up. We have no idea how many people died. I'd say a lot less than you expect because the CDC even said that only 6% of the people reportedly who died, you know, of COVID actually died from COVID. They died with it, not from it. And these people were at the short end of life's journey anyway. Okay. So you figure 6% what is it, 600,000 so far that they say died of COVID. 6% of that, 10% would be 60,000, 6%, 5% would be 30,000. So I think I fit 40,000. So approximately, let's just say 40 to 45,000 people actually died from COVID and nothing else. Okay. That's half a flu season. All right. So where's the pandemic? All right. And this is without even, this is not counting vaccinations. Okay. You know, this is before the vaccines came out. All right. So the other thing too, 99.97% of people, you know, are immune to anything more than moderate effects of COVID. Okay. In fact, a lot of kids actually have a worse time with flu than they do with COVID. So this is fascinating. So my theory is that now, you know, they're pushing vaccines so much, but the disease is already gone and they're lying about it. It's like the virus went away months ago, like July. Okay. But they didn't have the vaccines out yet. So they're putting vaccines. See the proof of it, logic and reason. Okay. Use your logic and reason. You know, they never test people for immunity to COVID. They never test people for exposure to COVID before they give you a vaccine. Why? Because if they find you've been exposed and didn't get it, or you got it, you got over it, you're immune. Okay. So if you didn't get it the first time, or you probably got it and didn't even know it, all right, and then got over it, if you have antibodies, if you've got immunity already, why would you give a vaccine to a person who's already immune? Unless your mission is to sell vaccines at all costs that aren't even really vaccines. They're messenger RNA gene modification bioweapons. That's my new word, bioweapon, okay? Why would you do that? Why would you suppress the cure for a disease that everybody knows about? You know, that this is basically already gone, all right? So let me, I think I got, let's do a quick check here. I think I got Mikhail already on the line, or Jimmy on the line. Hang on for a couple. We got 3 minutes to go. They're so prompt. These people are so prompt. Well, let me continue with my little discussion here. And well, sorry, just for the fun, I'm going to make Michaela's line live. And I'm going to continue with this. I don't think she can comment on it, but we'll just if this affects veterans at all, concerned veterans for America. If there's something she can talk about, then you know, you're live now, Michaela. So feel free to join in if you want to. If not, I'm just going to rant for about 3 more minutes. All right, global research. Why are hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin being officially suppressed? All right. And the article is by Dr. Gary Null and Richard Gale. This is May 11th, 2021. So it's a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, these things take a while to filter through. Had the FDA and Anthony Fauci's National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, the NIAID, started approving existing clinically proven and inexpensive drugs for treating malaria, parasites, and other pathogens at the start of the pandemic, millions, let me say that again, millions, one more time in case you missed it, the first two, millions of people would have been saved from experiencing serious infections or dying from the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which you know as COVID-19. Why federal health officials never followed this strategy is a question the mainstream media refuses to ask. It's also a question I've already answered. The answer is to sell vaccines. Okay. See, you got to understand the vaccine came before the virus. All right. The vaccines were created, you know, by Moderna 11 years ago, back in 2010 when the company was founded. Why are all the most recent billionaires from the sale of vaccines all from Moderna and also from China and one guy from India? All right. You look at all the biggest, you know, new billionaires, they're all from this company, Moderna. All right. Moderna has created messenger RNA vaccines. So they're not even real. What they are is computer instructions that they use the computer instructions to create the messenger RNA of living stuff. And as they say, hacking the software of life to inject this into your body it's been called a bioweapon by a lot of folks to change your DNA. Well, why would you take that for a disease that's already gone? You're already immune to, or you've already been exposed to and you didn't get it. That makes no sense.
It's interesting that I can't really comment on some of it.
Okay.
But what I can comment on is that last year, you know, we've talked about this on our CVA reports. Mm-hmm. The VA canceled, delayed, or rescheduled, and some of them are still to be rescheduled almost 20 million appointments. But all of a sudden, I had that event last week at the Hangar. It was great showing, and heard a lot of really sad stories, actually, about veterans not receiving the care they earned. And but now all of a sudden, the VAs can't wait to get veterans in to get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. You have a theory on that?
That's the best comment I can give you on it.
Yeah. No, I understand, and it actually makes sense. I mean, we have a lot of folks that have particular positions. See, the nice thing about me is that I don't owe anything to anybody. I can say whatever I damn well please. And so let me be the controversial one, and I'll send you this article, or you can just look it up. Global research, why are hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin being officially suppressed? And I know why they're being suppressed. I documented that back in my March 15th, 16th, and 17th shows, because this is all about vaccines. They created the virus to sell the vaccines. They created the virus to market the vaccine. And I think the best thing that you guys can do at Concerned Veterans for America is take a serious look at whether vaccines are actually in veterans' benefit, you know, to benefit veterans or not. It may be in their interest not to get the vaccine until we learn more about this stuff. And it's something I'll let you guys decide. If you can comment, feel free. But if not, I certainly understand.
Oh, well, I mean, we're all about choice, so personal choice.
Okay.
If a veteran wants to receive the vaccine, I don't think there should be anybody stopping them from it. If they don't want it, I don't think there should be anybody forcing them to do it. It's personal choice.
Well, see, that's the problem, too.
Always
and now OSHA.
Personal choice for Concerned Veterans for America.
Okay.
Which kind of leads into our new our topic for today is...
Well, is Jimmy joining us, first of all? Is Jimmy joining us today or not?
He said he might not be able to today.
Okay.
But
well, let me let you
he
get started,
said he could,
then.
He would.
Yeah. Okay.
He's filming something, so he said if he got done in time.
Oh my!
Is he
a movie star? Is he going to be on the? Is he going to get his footprint in Hollywood? Or, I mean, what's going on with Jimmy? We like Jimmy here.
He is working on some educational videos for Complete the Mission, which, as you know, that's it is circling around with our VA Mission Act. Which we've talked about before is not being implemented the correct way. But what we're doing here in Florida is we actually have or it's actually gone national. If you'll, I posted it I sent it to you this morning on Facebook Messenger, but I also posted it in the little comment section on today's show that you posted. Mm-hmm. Next Tuesday, the 8th of June, we're going to have a Facebook Live that is going to go over a new bill coming out. It's H.R. 364, the True Choice for Veterans Act. And this would allow veterans with service-connected disabilities to choose TRICARE for life. They would have a standard buy-in, like retired veterans do. And it has to be service-connected disability. So, but the idea is they can, if they like the care that they're getting at the VA, they can continue to. And there, we do hear that. We hear veterans all the time say, "I'm happy with what I'm receiving at the VA. They're not so bad." but if they're not happy with that, it would give them the choice to buy into TRICARE for Life. And I mean, like Andrews Institute here in Gulf Breeze, that's in the network and it's one of the best in the area. So if they're having orthopedic issues, things like that, they could choose to go to Andrews and have insurance through TRICARE.
Okay. I want to just stop you for a second here because I want to give the information. I've got a post on my Facebook page, but my page is now, it's not public anymore because I'm not getting shut down again. You know, no more leftist trolls. And so it's just for my friends, but I want you to be able to reach all the audience here. So it's the Veterans True Choice Act and the Future of Veteran Healthcare with Congressman Stubbe, I believe is the event, Tuesday, June 8th. That's the one you're talking about?
Yes. And if you want to go to a Facebook that's not private, you can go to Concerned Veterans for America on Facebook, click on the events tab, and it's going to be right there, June 8th.
Yeah, see, that's what I wanted you to announce so people can go find it. And so when you share this with veterans, when they listen to the show is public. You know, anybody's welcome to call. We even had a neo-Nazi calling in for a few days. That was pretty exciting. But this is a good thing. And so, you know, feel free to give the website as much as possible. And periodically, you know, give me announcements. I can actually make announcements, you know, on the show. Because I know you guys have to move on. I'm perfectly happy doing this. So send me stuff. Let me know what's happening. That way I can get it directly out there. So tell me.
For sure.
Thank you. What's TRICARE? Let's go over that one more time just so people understand.
So TRICARE is what you have while you're in the service. And then if you retire, so if you do, I think it's 20 years. If you do 20 years, you get TRICARE for life. So you maintain the same health insurance that you've had throughout your time in the service. So like my son's father is active duty Army. So my mm-hmm. son is covered under TRICARE and will be until he's 18.
Okay.
It's what's offered to active duty.
Can he choose to do it?
The insurance.
He can't keep it. He can't keep it though. Because he's a dependent. He wouldn't be able to buy into TRICARE as someone is as
no,
a child of someone who's in it. Okay.
For me personally, I had TRICARE my whole life growing up, mm-hmm. and I had it until I graduated college because there was a certain thing that provided for that. If your child decides to go to school to higher education, you can be covered for that.
I want to hear more about this event, the act, and Representative Stubbe himself. So what's going on? Because his name keeps popping up on our show, so he must be doing something right.
Yeah, I will say the idea of a 3-page bill coming out of D.C. is a unicorn. It's not stuffed with pork. It is 3 pages. It is a single topic bill, and that you don't see that happen very often. And so I think it's actually incredible.
Wow.
We have a lot of people interested in going to it, but it'll be online, Facebook Live. All you have to do is turn on your Facebook, which most people, let's face it, are already on there. And tune in because this is going to be a huge thing. It's going to be Darren Selnick. Do you know, I think I've mentioned his name before. He's actually the author of the VA Mission Act, speaking with Congressman Stubbe. And
is he a veteran?
And
a veteran by
our very
too?
Own Jimmy is going to be moderating.
Ooh. Is Congressman Stubbe a veteran also?
He is, yes, sir.
Okay, interesting. All right. Oh, you can call me Greg. You get so you've been military all your life. It's kind of funny.
Are
you
a
veteran?
And I was raised in the South. I can't help it. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay,
yes, ma'am. I don't know. I can't help
no,
it.
No, actually, it's kind of nice. This is the first thing I noticed when I moved from California, the land of insanity, is that people are actually nice here and they're polite. And they have manners.
Polite.
California,
yes, manners.
You know,
manners are everything. If my mama listens to this, she'll want to make sure I'm saying yes, sir.
That's great. Hey, listen, if you want to get her on the show sometime, that'd be fabulous. I love it. Okay.
My mom does not do – my mom would not do radio.
Oh.
She'd be so nervous to do it. No. Oh, my goodness. No.
Yeah, some of my
she
best reporters –
listens all the time, though, so.
Okay, good. Some of my best reporters, they'll start off incredibly nervous. And then they just, you know, once they get the hang of it, so you can't shut them up. It's great. So, okay, we're done. Well, no, I'm not. I got 20, you know, I got more to say. We're actually done. You know, you're running into the next report. So, but, and this is, I'm talking about half an hour to sometimes hour long reports, and like, they're still ready to go. I said, I got more stuff. You know, it never stops. All right. So this is fascinating with what's going on. And now you're still fighting a Biden insurrection. I can say that you can't. You know, but you're still fighting against the government, you know, giving the best treatment to veterans possible. So where does the bill stand? What's happening with it? And what are you trying to accomplish when this gets going here?
Well, I mean, what we would like is to see every single Florida delegate. We would like to have a Florida delegation co-sponsoring this.
Okay.
So we actually talked to Congressman Gates' office last week. And he said that it was a high possibility that he would sponsor this. We've gotten a few people saying, yes, they're going to co-sponsor it. But this is an incredible bill. I mean, how can you say no to this? That's the real question. Because what it does is it cuts costs as well. So any actual conservative, any actual free market person would mm-hmm. would jump at the opportunity to co-sponsor this bill because
yeah.
The VA estimates that they spend between $12,000 and $13,000 per veteran a year. This TRICARE for Life, the average is between $7,000 and $8,000 a year. So it's still
okay, that's
government
huge.
Healthcare.
Yeah.
But you're cutting costs by between $5,000 and $6,000 per veteran served. I mean,
so
how could you not sign on?
Well, I mean, it sounds wonderful. How do they do that? Are they cutting back any particular service? I mean, there's obviously a rhetorical question here, but how are they able to cut that much and still maintain the level of service?
Well, it's part of it is because with TRICARE, you're going out and you're seeking care at whatever provider is in your area, right?
Okay.
So you're not having to drive from here to Biloxi to go to the hospital. You can go, like I said, to Andrews or
mm-hmm.
Baptist or any of these places that are covered in network. So
okay.
that's one of the ways. And TRICARE is just a better insurance company. The VA
is it a government
insurance company?
Company.
TRICARE is an insurance company. The VA is a bureaucracy. It's an institution. So that's
okay.
why, and that's how.
Well, actually, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know these things are, you know, you've been dealing with this issue so much, and I run into the same thing myself when I start talking constitutional things like that. I think to myself, how do you not know the details? Well, it's so fascinating that the VA is a world unto itself. And healthcare is another world unto itself. And somehow they're trying to merge. And so I'm trying to get a handle on some of this myself because it's a bill I have not studied. And this is why I count on you and all your expertise here to be able to sort of lay this out. But if you've got a private health company, so TRICARE is a private healthcare company or insurance company, does the VA oversee them, direct them?
No.
Have, you know, how does it work?
No, they are their own entity. TRICARE is its own entity. It's an insurance company.
Okay.
A lot of the insurance is actually through Humana.
But they're contracted by the government to provide insurance for veterans?
Yes. For active duty dependents
right.
and retired veterans or retirees,
okay.
I should say.
Yeah.
So yeah, what a lot of people don't understand is, you know, if you go in and you do, so my dad is a retired officer. My brother
okay.
is a veteran. My brother only did 4 years, not only,
mm-hmm.
my goodness, only.
Oh. Depends on the 4 years,
he did
yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
And my dad did 30. So my dad is retired. My brother is a veteran. So my brother doesn't get the same benefits because he didn't put in as much time. But, and thank God, my brother does not have a service-connected disability.
Yeah.
But if he were, he would be stuck at the VA with no choice. And some of the stories I heard last year, I mean, I can share, or last year, last week, last Wednesday, at
yeah,
our at our event at the Hangar, mm-hmm. one of them, actually, I have one right here. I won't reveal anybody's names or anything.
No, you don't have to do that. No, we need the information, not the name. Yeah.
One of the women there, she was a mother, a caregiver. She said, if I wasn't present, I would never have believed it. Her son was sent to Pensacola VA. I don't want to go into that. Told that he, at 25, had 30 days to live and had liver failure. He said to me, how does it feel to have to bury your son? He ordered unnecessary tests and said he would review in 20 days. When we returned, he told us, I was just joking. I wanted to see if I could get your attention. When I asked if he ever did this to someone else, he said, if they don't come back, it never affected them. So how
wow.
are these people being held accountable? Another story was, and this has happened all through the year. This is just
mm-hmm.
one story of almost 19.7 million.
Hmm.
A canceled appointment with, and there was no letter sent out, but kept texting to make sure, are you coming for the appointment in April? And they would reply, the veteran's caregiver would reply, yes. They showed up all the way from Navarre to the Pensacola clinic, and they said, well, you have no appointment. We don't have an appointment for you.
Yeah, people don't understand this. You know, when I go to any of my, you know, regular health providers, they text you a week ahead of time, you know, 3 days ahead of time, mm-hmm. 2 days ahead of time, you know, confirm your appointment, you know, and pre-register. I mean, there's a multi-step process to make sure that you know when and where, and that you're already logged in and registered before you even get there. You know, so there's,
right.
They don't want to have cancellations.
Right, and the VA is running off of something that's dated, very, very dated. Their systems are dated, and it prompts another question. If they were the only administration not under sequestration and their budget increased by 400%, why don't they have an updated system for appointments?
That's a good question. Well, I actually have something that you may want to look into and pass on to Concerned Veterans for America. I have a couple of bills that I wrote way back when I first started this. This is back in 2014, 2015, when I first got the idea for citizen legislation. Government departments. One, the Department of Freedom. The second is the Department of Innovation. And so you have a specific government department dedicated to bringing us into the 22nd century, and we start now. So in other words, they try and forecast as far ahead as they can and update with the latest technology. You know, where are the savings going to be? Where, you know, are we still using vacuum tubes when we should be using, you know, the latest microchip? You know, where, who knows? I mean, there's some really backwards things in government because they're not based on profit. They're not based on incentives to have the most modern equipment. You know, some of the FAA traffic systems, you know, I used to be a flight instructor, right? And some of those systems are pretty damn old because, well, it's good enough. It's still working. What's the problem here? Just replace the tubes, man. You know, and it's like tube mentality in a microchip world, you know, and they still have that. So I'll send you the bill. I think you might find it interesting. In fact, I was hoping Newt Gingrich
definitely
would head it up.
Definitely do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can always get on writeyourlaws.com. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. You were saying.
Okay. All right. But the idea is that government actually thinks about the most modern and efficient way to do things. And this is why I say I've tried to contact Gingrich for years, but he'd be the perfect person. I actually wrote the bill for him to be an innovator, to take the government processes and how can we make this, you know, it's like when private industry does best practices, they take the things that work best and they document them and they implement them. It goes back to, who was it, Peters, who wrote either the 100 best corporations in America or In Search of Excellence. I get them confused. I mean, Tom Peters wrote one of those, but those two books, you know, the 100 best corporations in America and In Search of Excellence. I think it was In Search of Excellence that they took what corporations did best and they documented that so that other corporations could model that and be more competitive. Well, in the same way, we needed an equivalent in government so that government models the best practices of whatever particular agencies are innovating the best. And we use that throughout the government. You know, the government attitude is I've worked in government. I know that all they care about are vacations and retirement. That's it. Maybe sick days too. That's it. You know, it's like, how much time can I take off? It's not how can I do my job better. It's not how can I be more competitive, you know, against other government industries. And I don't know if we need to set up that kind of a system, but we need something to motivate these folks to innovate in a way that brings about the best practices so that we get the most, you know, most for our tax dollars, like you're doing now with the True Choice Act. It's the same kind of thing. It's an innovation. Moving forward.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Don't you think if we made an additional government agency, it wouldn't be treated the exact same way?
That's a good question. No, that's a very good question. I don't know. You know, it's like saying when people ask me.
I would say I don't believe in expanding the federal government at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
at
no,
all.
I thought about that too.
There is any reason to expand the federal government and for any reason.
It's a completely valid point. My contention is hopefully I would structure in a way. In legislation that it was not like a typical government agency. The Department of Freedom, for example, is the one agency that can basically cut the programs of other agencies. You know, that's how that works. Okay. So it would be like internal affairs and the police kind of thing. It's like, okay, you know, you're violating the Constitution. That goes. But the head of that would be elected. Okay. So maybe the head of government, you know, I mean, I don't know. It still takes good people to make good government. You still have to have virtue to be in good government. So really it comes down to a people thing. We can make all the laws in the world, but unless you have the right people to enforce and enact and carry them on, it doesn't work. Now, what I would do is have, and this is something I have not done, but maybe we should talk about sometime in the future, is bureaucrat term limits. Okay, I think they're focusing on the wrong thing with elected officials. I think the real problem is the bureaucrats, the people that are entrenched, the Dr. Fauci's. All right, he's been there longer than anybody. He makes $500,000 a year. All right, he is so entrenched, so powerful, so connected. So I still think personally he arranged the lockdowns in the different states, and my suspicions, you know, came about when he made a comment in one of the press conferences. He said, "I talk to governors all the time," and I thought to myself, "Why are you talking to governors all the time? You know, where did that come from? What are you coordinating behind the scenes?" And I think it was the lockdowns. Okay, so if we
someone you really need to get in touch with is is Jordan Carr. Her name is Jordan Carr. I can send over her information after this.
Sure.
But she's at the Convention of States, and one of their big pushes is for term limits.
Yeah, but not for bureaucrats. Here's the problem I have. And we're a little bit off topic, but it's so much fun to talk to you. I really enjoy this. I'm going to miss you because we have some great chats here. The Convention of States, the problem is, and I had the folks on, and the one question I asked them is, are you going into your convention with all of your articles that you want to amend the Constitution with written out ahead of time and have a rule that in no way can these be amended, altered, or added to? And they said, no, we're going to go into the convention and we're going to write them based on these topics. I said, I can't support you. I can't support you because I know what's going to happen. You know, the conservative states are going to say, we're going to have a convention. We're only going to take these certain amendments, and this is going to and we'll limit it to that, and we'll write them, you know, as, you know, trust us. You know, we'll write them as we say we are in the convention. And then as soon as they do that, New York, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Illinois, California, you know, Oregon, all the leftist states are going to come knocking on the door and say, we want to play too. You can't lock us out. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal. You're a bunch of racists. You have to let us in. And then once they get in, they're going to rewrite the Constitution. Then the First Amendment's going to go. The Second Amendment's going to go. So I can't support folks because unless the convention, you know, says what they want ahead of time and locks it in, anything can happen in that convention. And if they can make those amendments ahead of time, why don't they just go through the regular process? You know, get it through Congress, get it to, or at least start it in the states, but take them individually and say, we want a state convention on this amendment. That's the problem I have with those folks.
Well, the last I heard, they had three main topics that they are focusing on. So that's all I mean, I'm, again, off topic, not really
centric,
but it's fascinating that there's a growing movement there with that.
But I think it's misguided. After I talked to those folks, I mean, initially I supported it, and I'm hoping Florida, you know, changes the vote on it. I think it's dangerous. I think it opens up the Pandora's box of wishful thinking for the leftists to come in and totally rewrite the Constitution. And I don't trust the Gelding Old Party. I just don't. You know, the GOP, that's what I call them now, the Gelding Old Party, all right? Because they're gutless. They have, you know, you've got 50 Republican senators, 48 Democrats, and two independents. Why aren't the Republicans in the majority? Why aren't they running the Senate? All right? You've got the January 6th, you know, the challenge to the states. They're actually challenging the state electors for Biden to prove they were legitimate, which, of course, they're not. That was stopped. That process was never picked up again. You've got reconciliation bills that are not reconciliation bills, okay? And I've been screaming as loudly as I can to people. All right, well, you know how this works, right? You know, because a reconciliation has to be connected to the Budget Act. You have to reconcile a part of the budget with something else so that it makes sense. All right. So to have a stimulus package called a reconciliation bill is a lie. And yet the Gelding Old Party never spoke up about that. So I don't trust them. I don't trust them to limit the left because they can't, because the left has the media that if you open up a convention of states convention, you know, all hell's going to break loose. That's why I don't want it. I don't trust them.
I'm not necessarily saying I support the Convention of States.
No, I know.
Her point of view is very interesting.
Well, no, get me in touch with her. It sounds great. I'd love to talk to her. Okay. I want to find out a little bit more about the Veterans True Choice Act. Do you have, like, some bullet points sitting right there in front of you that you can tell me what the main, like, the bill summary, the main things this is going to accomplish? We should go over that again so people have that, you know, on the record.
Sure. Okay. So what it would do, like I said, three-page bill, absolute unicorn in D.C. so really the only thing it would do is allow veterans who are not retired to get retired military insurance. So they would be able to buy in to TRICARE for life. And there is a buy-in for it. you have to have a service-connected disability,
mm-hmm.
and it is the buy-in is less than $100 a month.
Okay.
I think it's probably less than $50 a month. I'm not 100% sure on that, but and it could be different for different folks, but it is definitely less than $100 a month. I was actually just talking to Jimmy a little bit before this, and he said he thought his was around $27 a month.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you did explain that, and I guess I'm with that. You know, I can't believe it's that simple. You know, so there has to be more.
Yeah. I mean, that's really all there is to it. It is that simple. And it's where the VA Mission Act, it is a good act, but
mm-hmm.
we're still struggling because the VA has this bureaucracy mindset where, like,
right.
last year, like when COVID hit, they said, no, we're rescheduling, we're canceling, we're delaying
mm-hmm.
appointments. Of the 20 million, 3 million were mental health related. They didn't, and some clinics did do telehealth, but others did not. And so it really depends on which clinic you're going to, if you're receiving good care, and it's care that these veterans earned. Now there are veterans that go and they go for non-service connected disabilities or non-service connected issues, and they would not qualify under the True Choice for Veterans Act. So that's why we do want to still complete the mission. We want the VA held accountable. We
mm-hmm.
want the VA giving good care to our veterans.
Okay.
But the True Choice for Veterans Act is, I mean, it's really just that simple.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant in its simplicity. I do that with all our Action Radio bills. It's mandatory they be single subject, you know, and they're not necessarily short. Some of them are actually longer. We have a bill to end welfare in 25 years. That's a long bill, but it's still a single subject. And so it is illogical.
Single subject bills are, I mean,
it should be mandatory.
I feel like that's how it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
We should not have just issue all, I mean, and it's impossible for any average person to read, and you'll find out when you get it.
Yeah, you got to pass the bill to see what's in it. Well, in fact, one of our bills
too,
got
to pass the bill to see what's in it. That this is the opposite. It's a 3-page bill. You can look it up.
Yeah.
HR 364. And I did want to just make a note. This is my last show with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll probably drag me back in. My last day with Concerned Veterans for America will be June 11th. I've accepted an opportunity with a different path. So
moving on up.
Doing
your thing.
I'm sorry.
Good luck. I said moving on up. Everybody, you know, moves to this is the whole idea. You know, the more challenge, the more you can do, the more you can accomplish, the better. You know, it sounds like you've done some great stuff with CBA. So this is wonderful.
Yes, I'm really excited about the new opportunity.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say. Good luck to you. I think it's going to be fabulous. I still have some questions, though, unless you know, if you have a few more minutes here.
I have a few more minutes, sure.
Okay, good. All right, good. Because I think I was getting confused because there's either a bill or a law at this point that allows veterans to choose private care if they can't get VA care. And I think I was confusing that in my mind. And if I'm doing it, I'm sure other people are, at least I hope so. that people might be confusing the Choice Act, the ability to choose private health care if you can't get VA care. That's a different law, isn't it? That's a different bill what I'm talking about?
So essentially – there's kind of a history to it. The 2014 Phoenix scandal happened during the Obama presidency. So what was happening then is there were like choice acts, and none of them were being honored or followed. And they were very confusing, very difficult. When President Trump was elected, he said, we're going to do away with that. We're going to get something better. And that
mm-hmm.
along came the VA Mission Act, which CVA was instrumental in getting passed. I mean, CVA literally lobbied President Trump for it. And one of our senior advisors, Darren Selnick, helped write it. So he'll be on next week on the Facebook Live to take questions. But part of the thing is, so it was passed in 2018. It was to be implemented June 6th, 2019. So it was being implemented, and veterans were having some good experiences under it.
Mm-hmm.
But the boogeyman came in 2020. In March 2020, the boogeyman came in, and
uh-oh,
the VA reverted to their old selves, right?
Mm-hmm.
No competition, no accountability. They knew they kind of had people where it hurt, and they just said, well, we get paid whether or not veterans are coming in, so we're canceling appointments.
Interesting. Yeah, that's the same logic I found when I went to East Berlin when it was still communist. I actually got there while the Berlin Wall was set up. And as I'm walking around, and I went deep into East Berlin. I almost didn't make it out by curfew. That's a whole other story. I almost caused an international incident by myself. But one of the things I found was that the it's kind of fun. I'll tell you more stories too sometime off the air. But the restaurants, the cafes, they all had reserve signs on all the tables. And I walked in my best, you know, broken German and, you know, their broken English. What's this? This is reserved. I said, there's nobody here. I said, why are the tables reserved? Well, so we don't have to serve anybody. Well, why don't you want to serve anybody? So we're paid anyway, whether we serve or not. So we might as well sit here. I said, I guess there's no tipping. They're like, what's that? And
what's a tip?
What's a tip? Well, they don't know.
I'll give you a tip. 'Cause
there's no tipping in communism.
I'll give you
a tip, kidding?
Greg.
What's that?
Don't stand up in a canoe.
Thank you for that brilliant advice. I'll give that. Actually, I've tipped canoes. You're bad. But they didn't know. And so this is exactly the same thing. It's the VA mentality. It's basically a communist mentality where they're saying, we get paid whether we serve you or not. So what do we care? And it's the same thing in these cafes. That these people, that was their job. Their job was to sit there and do nothing and not serve anybody. So they had cafes and restaurants that didn't serve anybody, yet they're paid by the state, you know, to keep an operation so that people had a job. You know, it's much like our stimulus program now where people are paid to stay home, you know, but that's why the economy collapsed because nobody was doing it. There was no exchange. There was nothing. It was the most boring, dull, horrible place I've ever been in my life. You know, one day of communism was enough. And the people that come here from communist countries, you know, they look at Americans and say, you have no idea. And I'm one of the few that can say, well, yeah, I do. I was there, actually there, you know, and one day was enough for me. But the boredom, the hopelessness, it's a horrible situation what millions of people have to live under. Anyway, back to this. But they've got that same mentality at the VA. And if they're thinking, you know, we don't have to serve people because we're paid anyway, that's communism right there. My words, not yours. But my question is, where did this come from? Go ahead.
I'll chime in. It's 100% social medicine. Like, I mean, it's socialized medicine. It's government. Mm-hmm. It's government medicine. I mean, ask a veteran if they like, for anybody listening that thinks they want the government to pay for their medicine, ask a veteran how they feel about their health care. Choice is always, always, always. The free market is always the right answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the free market.
I don't want the government.
As long as the free market.
Paying who they will and won't pay for my health care.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened with the VA Mission Act is you mentioned there is a community cares portion of that act.
Right.
And it says if you're waiting more than 20 days or driving more than 30 minutes to get care, you have the right to seek. And the day you file your claim with the VA is the day the clock starts ticking. You have that much time. And if you don't get care within that 20 days, you can say, I want to seek care within my community. You have a right. So this is a huge thing. We have to have veterans that are subject when they're in the Army, when they're in the service, they are subject matter experts. We need them to come out subject matter experts on their own health care, right? And so all I can say is tune in tomorrow on the 8th and get the knowledge you need because this is going to be a huge bill.
Yeah, sounds like it. I wish Gates were more vocal on it, but the mysterious Representative Gates, who's been absent from my show ever since I left WBY. I don't know. I sometimes wonder if we can sort of, you know, get him back in the district a few more times and talk to us. I think it would be a whole lot better. I'm curious what's happening with him. But anyway, I think that pretty much covers it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that that's going on. I guess we're still in Afghanistan. Yeah, go ahead. Make whatever points you want.
One last thing about the healthcare is so even when people do get permission, sometimes they'll get permission from a doctor to go and say like they need aquatherapy, but the doctor like types it into the system but doesn't give them an actual authorization. So veterans need to know that they need to get a copy of that authorization, because what happens is they'll go get the recommended, not the authorized. And this is a fun little game they like to play with our vets. They'll recommend it but not authorize it, and then they refuse to pay.
That sucks. That's scummy. That's terrible.
That's putting it nicely.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and again, the problem comes down to what we talked about before. You know, we need good people who want to serve the veterans in the VA. I think a whole bunch of replacement. I mean, it's almost like we should take everybody that's been there, you know, 10 years or longer and just fire them. Sorry, you've been there too long. You've lost your way.
You said it, you know, not me.
What's that?
Now, no, I do think there's a percentage. Now, I will 100%. I think there is a percentage of people who are there because they really do care for veterans. And and you do hear veterans coming out of the VA saying, I got good care. But you also hear veterans with just stories that'll rip your heart out. So.
Yeah. So one last question before I let you go. Can veterans contact Concerned Veterans of America directly with individual problems, cases, you know, tragedies, things
Absolutely.
Like that? Is it, okay, how do they do that?
Okay, so they're going to go to myvastory.org. We are currently collecting these. We don't want you to do anything that will put you in a HIPAA violation sort of area, but we are collecting stories because we're doing a FOIA. So that we can hold the VA accountable. So if you have a story, if you're a veteran and you've received poor care, or you've had some of these, like the examples I named off earlier, and you would like to receive or you would like to submit your story, you go to myvastory.org and you can type in your answer, your issue. And we are, again, I don't work for the VA. I can't get your claim processed, but we can use it to potentially sue the VA.
Sounds good to me. Hey, listen, thank you for some wonderful reports. You know, you've got a whole lot of insight into this that I certainly didn't know about. You know, as much as I, you know, care about the veterans and our soldiers and getting out of Afghanistan, as I mentioned just a minute ago, there's so much work to be done. So you're always welcome back. Just let me know. And
Thank
or
you.
Just even call in.
Thank you very
say,
much.
Hey, Greg, I want to comment on that. Oh, I'm sorry, Stephanie, there. No,
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me these last few months. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, that's what we do here. And if you have any bill ideas, let me know. This is, you know, citizen
Will
legislation,
do.
I believe, is the future. All right, Michaela, thank you so much. We'll talk to you
Will
again.
Will do. All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now. Ah, she's good. She's one of the good folks out there. All right, let's give her a round of applause. You'll hear that in the podcast. All right, let me do a couple quick things here, and I'll be right back. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio, using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. You are listening to Action Radio Online with Greg Penglis. The webpage for all Action Radio shows and podcasts is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please share our show with all your friends and family, both nationally and internationally. The guiding principle of Action Radio is this: we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed. Yeah, even if Michaela does disagree on my Department of Innovation, I'll send her the bill. I'd be kind of curious to see what she thinks about it. She's one of those folks that, I mean, her political skills, you can just tell. It's just really nice to talk to someone that knows what's going on. Jimmy, too. I don't want to limit him as well. Jimmy has a great handle on this, especially being a legislator himself. You know, it's the people that come to this show, you know, always impress me. And so it's wonderful to, I couldn't do this without the folks that have come through the show. And if you, you know, once you're in the Action Radio family, it's a permanent thing. So if you know, you've been on, and especially as a reporter, you know, always welcome back. All right. I want to get back to this. I've got a bunch of things on the vaccine report. I might have to extend this into tomorrow, or we'll see how much I can get through. The most important one right now, the most important thing is to hold the genocidal corporate government people accountable for what they've done and all the people they've killed by suppressing hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, vitamin D, vitamin C, sunshine, fresh air, you know, and putting people in masks, you know, locking them in their homes and locking down businesses. The worst possible thing you could have done for COVID was to lock people up in their homes and close down the businesses and build up the stress and ruin people's immune system. And I'm sure that was designed on purpose to spread the disease as rapidly as possible, because just the opposite, you know, would have been fine. Keep the businesses open, keep people out in the fresh air, keep them gathering and being social, you know, doing the things that we do for fun, you know, going to the beach, all those kind of things would have been hugely effective in reducing the spread of COVID as opposed to what they did. So it makes sense to me, using logic and reason, that what's really behind this pandemic is a marketing device to market vaccines. That's what it's all about. So one of the biggest components of that is the suppression of the cure. Because if you have a cure for COVID, you don't need a vaccine, right? If the virus has already gone away to the point where it's pretty much ineffective, you know, you don't need a vaccine. So you have to lie about the fact that the disease is gone, and you have to suppress the cures. These are all indications to me that they're vaccine pushers, that Dr. Fascist and all the people with him are psychopathic, genocidal drug pushers. That's what they are. So let's call it what it is, all right? So the article I was reading from is from Dr. Gary Null and Richard Gale let's get this here, this website. We started this earlier, Global Research. And the article is titled, Why Are Hydroxychloroquine and Ivermectin Being Officially Suppressed? Okay, this article is so good, I can't possibly post it on Facebook, all right, which is unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So you have to, you know, I just gave you the title, the date, and the author, so you can find it yourself, okay? It's not hard to do, all right? Anyway, so let me start the article again. Had the FDA and Anthony Fauci's National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Disease, the NIAID, started approving existing clinically proven and inexpensive drugs for treating malaria, parasites, and other pathogens at the start of the pandemic, that would have been about January of 2020, millions of people would have been saved from experiencing serious infections or dying from the SARS-CoV-2 virus, again, COVID-19. Why federal officials never followed this strategy is a question the mainstream media refuses to ask. I put a lot of blame on Trump for this. He knew the cure. He had the cure. He announced the cure. He had the advice of Dr. Zelenko, who could have connected him up with any number of thousands of doctors around the world, you know, that would have told him exactly the same thing. So why he believed Dr. Fascist is a question that we need to ask. We need to ask, you know, and here's a nasty question you're not going to like. But given the fact that Trump was lied to so badly and he still believes the lies, even if he is reinstated as president, is he going to be good enough to do the job? Okay. If he believes the lies, is he going to be effectively able to govern, or is he still going to be controlled by Dr. Fascist? All right. That's what happened in his last, you know, year leading up to the election. So who's to say it won't continue to happen? Because he still believes that 2.2 million people were going to die if he didn't provide ventilators and vaccines, when all he had to do is provide, very cheap. I mean, hydroxychloroquine, a week of hydroxychloroquine is what, $20, $20 a person. And a hell of a lot cheaper than the trillions they spent on this. So 15 days to end the pandemic, you know, with hydroxychloroquine would have been a hell of a lot better than everything they did, you know, to perpetuate the disease so they could sell vaccines when they came out in the fall. And we paid for them. You know, we paid with our tax dollars for these messenger RNA, you know, gene bioweapons. All right. And yet Moderna and the other companies are making all the profits. So there's a law that we have to change that allows for publicly funded research and development to still allow the companies that produce the product of that publicly funded research and development to keep all the profits. That's wrong. Okay, folks, here's the way it should work. All right, if you're a corporation, you either fund the research and development yourself and keep the profits, or if it's publicly funded, then the public, that's us, gets a tax break, you know, instead of having the billions go to you guys. Okay, that's the way it should work. Back to the article. Another question that the medical establishment, let alone our compliant media, is why have they failed to ask whether there are reliable studies in the peer-reviewed literature and testimonies from thousands of day-to-day clinical physicians worldwide who treat COVID-19 patients with these drugs, in particular hydroxychloroquine, otherwise known as HCQ, and ivermectin. How come they don't get a designation? Anyway, in most nations, there has been enormous success in treating COVID patients at the early and moderate stages of infection. However, in the U.S., Dr. Fascist, my words, Bill Gates, the FDA, and our institutional medical leaders have categorically denied their use. In fact, they are quick to erect obstacles to prevent them from being prescribed. Yeah, doctors lose their license if they prescribe hydroxychloroquine. Why? Because it works. Why? Because it would cure people. Why? Because it would end the pandemic. Why? Because that would mean we don't need vaccines. Okay, everything leads back to vaccines. This is all about making billions of dollars. That's all it is. They don't care how many people they kill. All right, this is what makes them genocidal psychopaths. They're willing to kill, you know grandma. they said, you kill grandma if you don't wear a mask. No, they kill grandma. Okay, they killed grandma to make a profit. All right, you know, they need the Dr. Mengele Award. Dr. Mengele was the Nazi doctor who experimented on people in the concentration camps. All right, I think Dr. Fascist is pretty much in that category, except that he's killed a hell of a lot more people than Dr. Mengele ever did, which is kind of scary when you think about it. Okay, I'll check the numbers. I'll verify it, but my guess is that the 500,000 Americans or so that have died with this disease didn't need to have it. I don't know how many would have been saved. It's hard to say. From Dr. Zelenko says that I think it's 84-85% of the people who died from or with COVID didn't have to. Okay, you tell me. Back to the article. When these questions are posited as a general argument for advocating expedient measures to protect public health during this pandemic, would it not have been wise to have prioritized hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and other remedies with a record of curtailing COVID, such as the antibiotic azithromycin, zinc, selenium, vitamin C and D, and melatonin as a first line of defense? Well, of course it would, because that's a cure. We talked about that March 2nd, last year. Okay? Over a year ago now. We talked about the cures. In fact, I did a show where I looked up the question. Yeah, I put this question online. You know, how do you kill viruses? Okay, not how do you create vaccines? I didn't care about vaccines. I think that's the worst thing. That's the last thing that you do, especially with all the problems with them. But you know, isn't it better to kill the virus than have to worry about a vaccine? All a vaccine does is it allegedly boosts your immunity, but it leaves the virus alone. Okay, what's the point of that? Most of you have immunity already. So what they're doing is they're building immunity for somebody that already has immunity. That's irrational. Unless you're just trying to market things. It's like selling a new car to a person who just bought a new car. What's the point? It's irrational. Well, the car salesman gets more money. And that's what this is all about. So think of Dr. Fascist and crew as car sales folks, you know, and bad ones at that. Bad ones that want to sell you a new car after you've just bought a new car, telling you that you really need a new car, you know, in case something happens to your new car. You know, that new car might need an oil change in the 3,000 miles. Well, of course it does. That's normal maintenance, all right? But you see what I'm getting at? See the insanity of all this? So the question that was never asked, that we asked, you know, back in March, was what kills viruses? Well, here's what I found out. Go back to my March 2nd show. It's all there, all right? You know, in fact, I can drag all the articles again if you want. Viruses kill other viruses. Viruses with drugs kill other viruses. Viruses can use drugs like a laser rangefinder to zero in on other viruses, all right? So all these ways, viruses can be killed with drugs. All right. So there's several different ways to kill viruses that have nothing to do with vaccines. All right. Yet none of those were talked about. That's what made me realize that this is all about vaccines. Okay. Because I mentioned this point, you know, my March 15, 16, and 17 shows. I mentioned it a lot. It's very simple that if the media and the government, corporate, you know, industrial death complex, all like that, corporate and government, media, corporate industrial death complex, you know, were honest, when hydroxychloroquine was announced as a cure by Dr. Raoult in Marseille, France, and Dr. Zelenko here in the United States, you know, back in the earliest stages of COVID, the media should have sung the praises. They should have, there should have been banner headlines in every paper in the country, in every website in the country, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin kill COVID. There's no need to panic. That's what should have happened, okay? That's what would have happened if the media was honest, but they weren't honest. So what happened instead? If you take hydroxychloroquine, you're going to die. That was the message that they said. Who is that twerp on Fox News, the glasses-wearing dork, that said, if you take this, he actually said this, if you take this, you're going to die. Here's a drug with a 60-year track record of being perfectly safe. You know, hydroxychloroquine. Well, maybe not perfectly. I mean, no drug's 100% safe for everybody under all circumstances. It doesn't work. I mean, there are side effects, all right? So anyway, but hydroxychloroquine has a very long track record of being a safe and effective drug for a bunch of stuff, okay? So all of a sudden it kills people? That didn't make sense. Never made sense to me. So why are they demonizing this drug with a 60-year track record? Why? To panic you, okay? So the thing is, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin remove panic. They take away panic because it's a cure. If you knew there was a cure for COVID, how panicked would you be? This is why I never panicked throughout the whole pandemic, because I knew there was a cure. I told you there was a cure. And those of you who listened knew there was a cure also. And you didn't panic. And you didn't wear masks because you knew there was a cure. So why would you, you know, I mean, the same thing with flu. There are medicines you can take for flu. There are medicines you can take for COVID. I think the COVID ones are a lot better and faster. All right. There are medicines to take for all kinds of different. That's why we develop drugs, to kill diseases. All right. Kill viruses, kill infections. All right. Plus, you can boost your natural immunity. You boost it with, what was the list there? Selenium? You know, I have to go find it again. I'm only on the second paragraph of this article. This is really crazy. Here we go. Antibiotic, azithromycin, that's the one that prevents pneumonia, right? Zinc, selenium, vitamin C and D, and melatonin as a first line of defense. Okay, zinc you can get in pumpkin seeds. Selenium, I think, is in Brazil nuts. Vitamin C comes from citrus fruits. Vitamin D comes from sunshine. Melatonin, I don't know. You know, but that's the basic list. All right. Is there anybody that has any question on any of this? Call me 215-383-3832. All right. We got about 8 minutes left. All right. So, So when these questions are posited as a general argument for advocating expedient measures to protect public health during this pandemic, would it not have been wise to have prioritized hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and other remedies with a record of curtailing COVID, such as the antibiotic is our them? So I forgot this last sentence. There was absolutely no need to have waited for experimental vaccines or experimental drugs such as remdesivir before the pandemic became uncontrollable. But this is what Fauci and Trump permitted to happen. Let me say that again. These were it's the trifocals. I can get the screen low enough so I can read the words. There was absolutely no need to have waited for experimental vaccines or experimental drugs such as remdesivir before the pandemic became uncontrollable. But this is what Dr. Fascist, Fauci, and Trump permitted to happen. Trump, through ignorance and belief that Fauci knew what he was talking about, and Fauci because he's a genocidal, psychopathic drug pusher. Anybody want to dispute that claim about him? Go ahead, call me, 215-383-3832. Next paragraph. If this strategy of medical intervention had been followed, would it have been successful? The answer is likely an unequivocal yes. Both hydroxychloroquine and even better, ivermectin. Ivermectin I don't know as much about. Okay, well, I'll look into it. Ivermectin have been prophylactically prescribed by physicians working on pandemic's front lines with enormous success. Yet those American physicians struggling to get this urgent message out to federal health officials are being marginalized and ridiculed en masse. Only in the U.S., the U.K., France, South Africa, and several other developed nations has there been a stubborn hubris to deny their effectiveness, and where they have been concerted efforts to undermine these cheaper alternative remedies. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why this is. Those countries have money. Okay. You look at the Western industrial nations, this U.S., U.K., France, South Africa, and a bunch of other countries too. The countries where they're pushing the vaccines are the countries with money. The countries where they're allowing hydroxychloroquine, you know, as a preventive, is where the countries don't have money. Okay, so you don't have to push vaccines on people. You know, if you want to save them, you give them hydroxychloroquine as a malaria preventative. And oh, by the way, it prevents COVID too. What a coincidence. Isn't that great? Okay, so this is why you don't see COVID as much in Africa and India. you know, a lot of people in those countries are poor. All right. So it makes no sense to try and push vaccines on them. They can't afford them anyway. So you push vaccines on the rich countries. All right. This is what they're doing. They're pushing them on the rich countries. China's pushing it too, because they use it as a bioweapon. They want you to have those messenger RNA, you know, genetic bioweapon shots. Why? Because they want to rule the world. They're a communist dictatorship. Communist dictatorships always want to rule the world. What, is there any mystery about that? Okay, so here's where we are. All right. So the question is, if this strategy had been, so in other words, my contention is, if 15 days to slow the spread had been 15 days to stop the disease cold with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, would we have even had a pandemic? Well, I have to say no. Okay, because everybody had prophylactic. Used to what we used to call condoms, you know, prophylactics. Okay, I'm still joking about that. But in other words, a prevention. Okay, so if we could have prevented, you know, this virus, you know, from infecting the vulnerable, all right, the vulnerable, the nursing home people, the older folks, the people that died for no reason, the people at the short end of life's journey, all right, those are the folks that needed ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which are safe and effective drugs, but they didn't get them. Why? Because the powers that be, the genocidal psychopaths, Dr. Fascist, and all the other health bureaucrats and the folks in Big Pharma, wanted those people dead to panic you. So they killed them to panic you, so that you would take a vaccine for a disease that has left months ago that you're already probably immune to, either through exposure and you didn't get it because your immune system fought it off, or you did get it and you had at most moderate symptoms and you've got antibodies so you'll never get it again, and yet they're pushing vaccines on people that don't need it. Again, selling a new car to someone that just bought a new car. It makes none of this makes any sense to me, yet that's what's going on. All right, let me just finish this one little paragraph. I got about 3 minutes left. I'll get to my other articles later. There's so much more. Moderna. I'm going to do a whole show on Moderna one day. You want to talk about a case study and psychopathic new billionaires? That's them. Okay. They don't care how many people they kill either. All right. So this is what's going on. So do you want to live free, or do you want to submit to a vaccine bioweapon where you have no idea what's in it, or how it's reprogramming your DNA? Okay. So the rich countries. All right, here we go. The World Health Organization, the WHO, recommends ivermectin for COVID-19. So why not the U.S. and these other nations? Good question. They recommend it for the countries that are poor. Remember, poor countries get the cure and the prevention. Rich countries get the vaccine. Do you see a pattern here? So it's all about the money. Under the article, multiple physicians and professors at American medical schools have testified before Congress to present the scientific evidence supporting hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. These are otherwise medical professionals at the very heart of treating COVID-19 patients. Okay, I've seen them. Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale, someone I've been in contact with, went before Congress under Senator Ron Johnson, who I'd love to be in contact with, because we could have saved so many people's lives. All right, let me just give you, I got 2 minutes left. There's more on this. You just check out the article, but okay, I can't post it. I'm sorry. You know, go see my site at Free Talk USA, and yeah, it's too small. Nobody's there. Below is a breakdown of the studies conducted so far for hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, vitamin D, specifically for combating SARS-CoV-2 virus. Hydroxychloroquine, 291 studies, 218 peer-reviewed, have been conducted specifically for COVID-19. 241 have been clinical trials that involved 3,875 scientists and over 366,000 patients. 33 were randomized controlled trials. 65% improvement in 26 early treatment trials, 72% improvement in 11 early stage infection treatment mortality results, and 22% improvement in 164 late stage infection treatment trials, patients in serious condition. Hydroxychloroquine, 291 studies. Ivermectin, 92 studies, 52 peer-reviewed, have been conducted specifically for COVID-19. 54 have been clinical trials that involved 442 scientists and over 17,600 patients. 27 were randomized controlled trials. 85% improvement in 14 prophylaxis trials. 80% improvement in 20 early stage infection treatment trials. 47% improvement in 20 late stage infection treatment trials. And 74% improvement in 20 mortality results. That's 74 to 85% improvement using these drugs. That's huge. Can you imagine if we save 74 to 85% of the people if they got these drugs? Okay. This is staggering. Vitamin D, 74 studies conducted over 650 scientists, 52 sufficiency studies with 12,000 patients, 23 treatment trials with 23,000 patients, 53% improvement in 23 treatment trials, 53% improvement in 52 sufficiency studies, and 63% improvement in 14 treatment mortality results. 30 seconds left. I'll have more studies for you. Like I said, I'm going to do the rest of it concerns Moderna, the billionaires, the excessive profits, and all of the nasty things they're doing. This has been quite a report today. So enjoy it, share it, send it out everywhere. Remember, if you want to listen to Action Radio in your car, just connect your cell phone to your car audio. And if you want to support us, patreon.com/actionradio. And it's been a pleasure. I will see you tomorrow. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time.